have my memory foam in a can. It's been sitting on my shelf for a year. I think we'll probably can enter again.
Because this is, nothing's going to be there.
Well, then.
Did you have a nice extended weekend?
Yeah, I did. I used it to catch up trying to get ready for intro.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing these boards in KiCad. So it's kind of like what you guys are doing in Embedded. So you guys are using Mentor, we're using KiCad. And having to, they've made a lot of changes to KiCad recently, which means that a lot of the documentation is out of date.
Right.
So I have to make, you know, I have to first figure it out and then make new documentation. No, we're not making quite the same board as you guys. We're doing basically they're taking our Arduino and adding some LEDs to it and making that on a board, and then it'll be a persistence of vision device, you know, something that's got a bunch of LEDs in a row, and if you wave it back and forth like this, or if you put it on your bicycle wheel, it'll go around and it'll, you know, spell words or make
so
pictures.
What?
But
ours barely worked.
I know.
It was cool.
It was.
Oh, you mean your intro thing?
Yeah.
No, for the...
Our intro circuit board thing that we made.
Oh, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I still have it.
I do too.
It worked.
I came across it the other day and I was like, oh, I forgot I had it.
All ours did was write USB in like...
Yeah.
Go in the shape of USB and put a mouse click down while I was writing that. I was really hoping we could make it like a little gamepad, since that's what we designed ours after, like the old NES controller.
Yeah.
With like four buttons over here as far as left and then D-pad.
Hey, you could go back and program it now.
I tried looking at it, but I couldn't understand what good went where.
What went where anymore, huh? Yeah, well. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I spent my weekend up to. Sunday and Monday. So today we want to talk about transmission line transformers. On Friday I obviously forgot to put up the notes. So we can't remind ourselves why, but it was because we were going to use it for the lab this week. And I don't know, looking at this thing right here, I see three wires, there's got to be four. I don't see where the fourth one is, but I want to pass this around. This is just a transmission line transformer. At least the core is a transmission line transformer. I'm pretty sure the transformer is too. I just kind of grabbed that quickly this morning out of the drawer upstairs. And so these kind of transformers work on a slightly different principle than the regular transformers. Okay, I think we talked about the regular transformers a while back. I would just kind of somewhere, kind of quickly, could probably find that in the notes.
I found
the other one. You did? Oh, good. Pull it out so everybody can see it there, and we'll figure out what kind of a transmission line transformer that is. So, here's how a transmission line transformer works. I guess first you have to know how a transmission line works, okay? And you will understand transmission lines much better after the second quarter of electronics if you take that, because we'll talk about transmission lines there. It's very important for all kinds of stuff, especially today, you know, with high-speed digital things, you know, making circuit boards. You need to understand what those traces are doing and how they work, and actually that when you send a signal from here to here, it's actually not instantaneous, right? In circuits, we always had the idea that when you flip the switch, it's like boom, and that's already there. I mean, it's already on, right? But in reality, there's a propagation, there's a wave that travels down those wires. And so, you know, we'll talk about that more in electronics too. But these transmission line transformers are based on the idea of a transmission line, which we can kind of understand. You have two wires here, you know, you'd have a load down here, and you'd have, I'll call this V2. Right here, and I'm thinking in phasors right now. This is V1, and when I put a bar over something, that means a phasor, okay? And by the way, if you you remember our notation, our IEEE notation, which says little sub big is the whole thing. Big sub big is the DC part, right? The place where you're expanding about, and little sub little is the little wiggle. And there's one more combination, and that's big sub little. And big sub little is the Laplace transform or the phasor of the little sub little, okay? Make sense? So, you know, these are phasors. You can think of them as small signal. And basically, you know, a transmission line, if it's short, if I put in a current here, I1, and I'll get the same current coming out here, I2, if it's short, and that's, if this is a short, V2 would be, and a short piece of transmission line, V2 would be equal to V1, okay? There's really a tiny little bit of delay there, but not a lot, okay? So what happens is you take this transmission line, and sometimes people actually twist it to make twisted pair out of it, which is okay too. If you twist it, then that's actually something that's good for noise immunity. That's why they use that in Ethernet cables and so on. That's because if you run the two wires beside each other like this, there's a little bit of space in there, and the B field, you know, eventually, you know, could accumulate, and you get, you know, dB dt, and would make a, you know, integral of E dot dl equals, you know. Yeah, right. So you can have some coupling there. So they twist them like this so that what goes through this hole cancels with what goes through that next twist and so on. And of course that also keeps them close together. So, you know, you could do that here as well. Although a lot of people don't bother. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a core, okay, like that core that I cast around. This is a high permeability core. It would be made out of ferrite, and you know, in general, we kind of approximate the permeability of this material as being infinite. In fact, it's very large. It might be, you know, 10,000 or something times mu zero. So that means that, you know, that this would make a giant inductance if you just put a little bit one turn around there, okay? Make a really big inductance. And so this is the permeability of these ferrite materials is probably 10 or 100 times more than iron, okay? It's just really gigantic. And, you know, you saw that little core coming around. The ferrite is also a non-conductive, whereas iron, you know, they make cores out of powdered iron. They kind of mix it with glue so it won't conduct. And that's important, too, because there's such a thing as eddy currents. If you make a B field that's changing, you know, that B field will induce voltages. And if there's a path of conduction, then there'll be currents going there. And those currents are called eddy currents, and they'll, of course, be losses for you. So that's not good. So anyway, these ferrites are non-conductive electrically, but they conduct the magnetic field really well. You can kind of think of the magnetic field as going around, and this is like a perfect wire for magnetic field. So what we'll do is we'll take this piece of transmission line and we'll wind it through that thing, you know, a number of times, maybe, you know, however many fits, maybe 6 or 8 or something. And if I still have my pens, I hid them over here, didn't I? Yeah, so if I can kind of draw this maybe in blue or red or something, maybe I should make these two guys blue and red to begin with too, so that you can tell what I'm talking about here. So I'm going to make the top one red and the bottom one blue. So now I'm going to take these two guys together. I'm just going to put them like this, and I'm going to wrap them, you know, around. Something like that, okay? And then they come out over here. So this looks kind of funny. I mean, you could say, well, you know, if I hook this would be the primary and that would be the secondary. That's normally what somebody would do, right, when you were doing a transformer. But that's not what we're going to do. what we're gonna do is we're gonna put a voltage, you know, this is V1 right here, and I1, and you know, you're gonna have, over here, you're gonna have V2 and I2 coming out here. And the idea is that if a current I1 goes in here, okay, if a current I1 goes in here, it'll come out over here. So this equals I1 basically, because this is, you know, this is a very short transmission line, and this guy, of course, is going to equal V1 because it's a short transmission line. So whatever current comes through here, that current would be zero because the inductance for this thing is infinite. That's because mu is infinite, okay? But if I let the current return like this, you know, if it comes back like this, this is I2 right here, which is approximately I1, you know, or equals I1 basically, then if that's the case, then all is well, and I can have a non-zero current. Because, you see, if I1 went through that and then I1 came through this, right, the total amount of current going around this core would be zero, right? Because it wound up, and then it unwound, right? Does that make sense? And so, if we take this guy right here, we can do kind of a clever thing with it. Maybe I should show you how we draw this thing with these two lines. When you're doing this in a schematic, you kind of do it like this. You draw, you know, that's the top one, and then right underneath it, you draw the next one. Okay, so that's how you draw the schematic of this thing right here that I tried to draw the real picture of. And, you know, you've got V1 and I1, and over here it's going to be V1 and I1 coming out because it's not a very long transmission line. And then what would happen if I did a thing like this. If I connected a wire there and just ran him over to there, that would be like taking this guy right here and putting a wire to this guy right here. Okay? So let's try and understand what might happen to that. And, you know, I need to have a way that I can have I1, you know, if I've got I1 coming there, I've got to have I1 coming back. And so I'm going to put a load on here like this, RL. And maybe I should talk about, just before we do this is even simpler, there's a thing called a balun. Let's just understand that before I go on here. A balun, which is it's a balanced, I'm writing balun again. Balanced to unbalanced. It basically, it looks like this, just without any of this black stuff. It's just this. Okay, I have the red one and the blue one here. Okay, and you have a voltage right here. I'll call this well, let me do this way. I've got V1 right here, and, well, I'll call this VA, I'm gonna call it VA, 'cause I've already got a V1 over there. And this is VB, oops, phaser. And basically, I have a current going in here, and the current comes out here, and if I put a load on here, like this, RL, I get, the voltage across here, VA minus VB, and what it does is it makes over here, it makes a differential signal. In fact, if you thought about this thing, maybe running into something symmetrical like an antenna. Just draw an antenna on the end, you can see what I'm talking about here a little better. So if I put an antenna here, then what it would force is it would force this current right here, I1, has to equal I2 equals I1. And it has to be that way because whatever current goes in one side has to come back the other. And what you have over here is you have a thing that makes only only differential current. You see, the thing that happens on a dipole here, this would make a current distribution on the dipole kind of going like that. But if I didn't have this balun in there, if I fed this with we could put a coaxial line on there. This is a coaxial line. I guess I can just leave it like that. You can see this is unbalanced cable. What would happen in a normal situation that you didn't have this thing, and by the way, often they put two lines over this and two lines over this to signify the core, okay? And if you didn't have this thing right here, what would happen is something like this. I just ran that to that side, and this to this side. What you would have is you'd have a big amount of current here, and then a little amount of current over here, or vice versa, depending on the setup here. It may be big over here and small over there. I'd have to think about it. But it's because, you see, the shield right here is not symmetrical. If you were to feed this with balanced wires, like this, two wires like this, like they have on the transmission towers, or poles going back to Bonneville or whatever, then everything would look like this. It would be a balanced current distribution. Everything's symmetrical. But over here, it's not a balanced current distribution because, you see, there's a bigger field between this side of the dipole and the shield here than there is between this one and this one, right? So the plus charges tend to want to go over here, and more current is flowing from this wire to that wire capacitively than from this to that, okay? And so when you have an unbalanced current here, it leads to an unbalanced radiation pattern. This thing would have a pattern that might go off in this direction, whereas this is supposed to have a nice donut-shaped radiation pattern going around the dipole, okay? And so often you would just use these two guys in a situation like this, in a balanced to unbalanced kind of a thing. Here, you could put, on the end, you could put a balanced transmission line. On this line, you could put an unbalanced one like a coaxial cable, okay? So that's what you use a balanced, unbalanced transformer, and it's just, this is what they'd call a one-to-one balun because it's not changing the the characteristic impedance from here to here, and that's characteristic impedance is another thing you'll learn about when we talk about transmission lines more. But that's kind of this basic building block here, and the important thing to note is whatever current goes down here has to come back here, okay? So now let's think about this thing right here. How can we understand what's going on with this dude right here? And I'm going to, on this guy, I'm going to ground this side right here. And let's see what happens on this thing. Carlos.
On these two, that picture, should the arrows be switched, or are they supposed to be that way?
Well, let's see. V1 is right here, and V2 is right here. So V1 would be right here.
On the core.
On the core. Okay, let's see. Well, the red is the top one, right? So the red, the plus is on the top. Here where I started right here, so this is on this side. And I went around, 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 and so this is the red here, and oops, you're right, I've got it backwards. So, yeah, so this should be plus like that, minus like that. Now do I have the currents right? I've got the currents backwards too. So we'll go like this.
I think your plus and minus
are on the red, right? So I think that's right now. Thanks for fixing that. Okay, so let's look at this guy and try and understand what will happen here. So what I'm saying is if I put in V1, I get V1 right over there, right? Okay, now if I put a current I1 there, let's see here. I think I did this backwards. Let me try this. I think I want like this. No, let's see. Yeah, so let's see what happens. If I've got I1 there, I've got to have I1 right here. Okay, so let me see. So if I have I1 there, I'm going to have I1 right here. So the voltage across here, I'm going to call that V1 right there, V1. And I'm going to call this voltage between here and ground, plus and minus, I'm going to call this Vin. Okay, V1 is really V out, right? So V1 is V out, I1 is I out, in the way this is working here. This is the output side. And so if I put in I1 right there, then this isn't quite I1 right here because it's I1 back here, right? That's I1 now because I've got this thing. And I1 comes down here and goes up back through there. So this is also I1 right there, right? Now I've got I1 plus I1, so going through the load resistor here is 2I1, right? And if 2I1, wait a minute. Okay, shoot, what am I doing wrong here? Okay. Man. Okay, let me start over here. Okay, I gotta figure this out right. So I've got this guy on top. This guy on the bottom. Maybe I'll do it this way this time. See if that works. So I'm gonna go like this. Okay, so I'm gonna have V1 here. And then over here I'm gonna have V1. Well, yeah. Okay, so I've got I1 going in here. And I need to have I1 coming back here because this guy needs to equal that guy. So I put my load resistor on here like that. Let's see if that works. Trick here. Let's try it this way. Kind of like that. Okay, so I've got V1 across here, like that. I got V1 over there. See what we get. So I've got a current going through here, and that current has to be I1, the way I've got it, right? Let's see if this works. Maybe that's the trick there. So if that's like that, and I can follow down this V1, goes across here, so that's V1 right there. See, I'm taking this V1, it's across that guy as well as being over there. So now if I look at the voltage from here to here, let me move this V1 in here, this is V1 here. So the voltage from here to here is going to be 2V1. Another way you can see that is by moving the minus of this guy over to here. This will be minus plus V1 right there. So let's see, I've got V1 here and V1 there. So from here to here. Okay, so I got I1 going in here. Here's RL right here. It comes around, goes like this. But if that's I1, then there's going to be I1 right here. I've got to have a thing on the other side, a ground. I may have to look this up. What's that? Wait, yeah, what's the wire right here at the front?
No, so like why are they going from the front of the red one to the back of
this wire right here. Well, I'm trying to make a thing that's gonna give me 2V1, and then I'm gonna get I1 over 2 or something. Maybe it goes like this. Let's try that. Okay, so if I do that, so if I've got I1, I'm gonna have I1 going right through this. This is I1 right here. And what's this current right here coming in? This current right here, I've got I1 going through the red thing, right? But I've got I1 going back through this one, so there's I1 going down here. So this is 2I1 right here, right? Okay, so that I got 2I1 coming in here. And over here, what is the voltage across this dude, this resistor, RL? Well, it's the voltage, it's going to be, let's see here. So if this is V1 because that's V1, so it pops over there. So this is V1. I've got V1 here. Oh, maybe what I need to do is this. Let me just try this to ground here. Okay, so I have 2I1 coming in here, and I've got this guy grounded. So if this is V1 across these guys, that's V1, okay? And then I can bring this V1 down here, and I got V1 from here to here. So this right here, from here to here, is... I called that V1 there. Oh, this is V1 right here. I already called it V1, but the voltage here is 2V1. So here, let's look at this. So I bring this guy. Okay, between here and ground. Okay, so I've got V1 here and V1 there, which is 2V1. There we go. Finally. Okay, so RL equals 2V1 over I1. And the input resistance, RN, equals, would be the voltage here divided by the current in, which is just V1 over 2I1. Okay, so I finally got this sorted out here. So I put a voltage across the beginning here, it's V1, okay? And that V1 ends up being on the end of the transmission line because it's just two wires, Okay, now let's think about, there's a current going in here. Part of it goes this way and part of it goes that way. Well, the part going through the red part, I'm calling that I1, okay? So whatever goes through the red part has to come back through the blue part, right? And so what that means is this current is going to be I1 because that's I1. Now what that means then is this current can only come from this little cross piece here. So I've got what goes in the cross piece has to be I1, and what goes in there, so this is 2I1 coming in here. And so the input resistance, what I see going in here is the voltage I see here, which is V1 divided by the current, which is 2I1. And the output resistance here, well, let's see, what do we got here? We've certainly got I1 has to go out there, right? There's no other place for it to go, so I1 is the current through the load resistor. And then the voltage across the load resistor, you've got V1 because you just went through the red and blue wires. And then you've also got another V1 because this V1 just comes down to be across between that point and ground, which is over here, right? So this is V1 here. So you got V1 plus V1 across RL. Therefore, you can take this guy RL is equal to that, and now put these two together, and so that says RIN equals, it's going to be 2. Well, if you notice here, V1 over I1 is just RL over 2, right? And so this is going to be V1 I1 divided by 2, so that's going to be RL over 4. Is that okay? So in other words, this implies that V1 over I1 equals RL over 2. I plug that in over here, and I get RL over 4. So this is a funny thing. It's an impedance transformer, and it's also a voltage and current transformer. In other words, whatever I put in here, I'm going to get twice the voltage over here and half the current. That's the same thing we had with like a 2-to-1 turns ratio on the transformers, the regular kind of transformers, right? Now, the advantage to this kind of transformer is that the power went right down the transmission lines, okay? And a transmission line is a very low loss device. And the purpose of the core here was just to make it so the current I1 was equal to the current I1 here. In other words, the current in the red is, you know, the same as the current in the blue, only so it makes a loop, right? And so the core here did not actually transfer the energy. The energy did not go through the B field that's in the core, right? In fact, there will be no B field in the core if everything's working properly. In fact, you know, this I, basically, if you remember back to physics and E&M, when you put a current through a wire, it creates an H field, right? H equals mu I over 2 pi r kind of a thing, you know. So you create an H field, and B equals mu H, okay? And so in this case, what this means is you can't have a current here that's not zero, because B would be equals mu H, right? B would be infinity, right? And if that's true, then the energy stored in that core would be infinite, right? Because the integral of B dot dH are 1/2 the integral of B squared, B dot B dV is going to be equal to, you know, the energy stored in that core. And so there's a problem here unless the currents match. And so basically the purpose of the core is just to make the currents match. The energy is not flowing through the core. Whereas if I took this as the primary, the blue is the primary and the red is the secondary, then what happens is I'm putting a voltage across here, causing a B field in the core, right? The B field in the core is going around, and it's then causing the voltage in the other wire, right? So in that case, the energy is actually transversing or going through the core. It's traveling through the core. In the other case, the core is just there to make sure that the energy doesn't go in the core, kind of a thing. I mean, it's just to make sure the energy is balanced. And so these transmission line transformers have several characteristics that make them better than regular transformers for high frequency kind of operation. First of all, they're more broadband. In other words, they'll work over a wider frequency range than the regular transformers. And that's partly also because the parasitics of the transmission line doesn't really have very many parasitics. It's made up of these two wires going together, and the model for the transmission line that you use to do this that we talk about in next quarter basically takes into account the capacitance per meter and the inductance per meter of the transmission line, and the model, you know, I mean, that's exactly what you've got here. It matches the electric and magnetic fields perfectly, or very, very close to perfectly. Whereas when you have a regular transformer, then there's a little capacitance between this turn and that turn, and there's also capacitance between, you know, the primary and the secondary, and all those kind of parasitics tend to make it so that you will end up losing bandwidth. In other words, they will make little resonant circuits and stuff, and your bandwidth will be limited when you start taking into account all those kind of effects, okay? Whereas with the transmission line, those kind of effects, you know, we that basically just makes this voltage equal to that voltage. I mean, they're already in the, that's already accounted for, okay? All those little parasitics, they're there. And so it's much better, it gives you a better transformer for lower losses and bandwidth. So now we made a 2-to-1 transformer here, but sometimes you might want more than 2-to-1. Like what if you wanted, this is a 4-to-1 impedance transformer. What if you wanted like a 3-turn transformer, which would be a 9-to-1 impedance transformer? Generally, when people talk about this thing, they talk about this impedance ratio is the thing they're concerned about. And the reason kind of you wouldn't be concerned about that, remember when we did our common gate amplifier, we wanted to make the load resistor bigger, right? And so this does that because the input resistor, whoops, it doesn't do that. It's backwards, right? So let's see if we could make it work the other way around, okay? So let me just do this thing again. It'd be a good practice for me, see if I can remember. I'm just going to turn around the input and the output. So if I do it like this, I guess I forgot to draw my 2-4 lines here. Okay, so I'm going to put my core lines there, and I'm going to do this, just switch it around, because we wanted a bigger impedance ratio, right? This one made the output impedance look even smaller, divided by 4, right? So what we want to do is we want to try and turn that around, because I think if I think about this as the input and that as the output, then it'll do the other thing, right? So if I do it that way, my input is between, right here, this will be Vin, right here, and the output over here will be just right across this thing. This will be RL, and I need to put my ground right here, and I need to run my wire like this. Did I do that backwards right? I'm using this as my input now, so I'm going to put my input voltage between the top wire, the red wire, and ground. And then I just have this wire coming down here going into the blue one. So there's the wire coming down going into the blue one. And now I'm going to put my my output, my load resistor, I'm going to move it from here and put it over right across red to blue with the ground on the blue. So let's see if that works. So in this case, I'm going to have V1 right here, right? That'll be V1 across here, right? Okay, and this is going to be I1 here, and it's going to go down here. And I've got to have, if that's I1 going through that guy, this has to be I1 coming back, right? Okay, so that means so the current going through here is going to be 2I1, right? Okay, so that means that RL then equals, in this case, RL equals V1 over 2I1, right? Agree? In other words, voltage across is V1, the current through it is, and you got this I1 goes here, so this is I1 going back here, right? So that goes back around like this, right? And this guy, I'm really not even using that blue wire coming out, it's just hanging there. I'm putting my input between here and here. So, so RL is V1 over 2I1, and now RN is equal to VN, which is V1 here plus, well, let's see, if I take this V1 and run it down, this is V1 across here, right? And so between, you know, this is V1 here, and then I've got another V1 there. These two wires are basically the same here, right? So that V1, so I got two V1, right? So two V1, what's VN, which is, that's two V1 over I1 is the input. And now, let's see, so RN is equal to, this implies V1 over I1 equals 2RL, right? And so this is 2 times 2RL, which is 4RL. And that's what we wanted, right? So we could use this on our common gate amplifier to give us a gain, because we made the output resistor, even though it was still 50 ohms or something, we made it look like 4 times that, right? Now, 4 is good, but maybe 9 would be better, right? Or maybe 16 would be even better yet. So how could we take this thing right here and make a more turns ratio?
Put a 2V1
in there. Let's just say a 9-to-1. This is a 4-to-1. And this guy became, this was a 1-to-4, right? This is a... Is it turns ratio, or no, or resistance ratio? Oh, resistance ratio. So to do that, we need, here we had 2 turns, right? So we need 3 turns, right? So if we were to do that, here's our core. And we'll have the red, and we'll have the blue, and then we'll have another one, the black. Okay, and what we'll do is, let's see, I want to make it like this, so I'm going to go from there to there, and from there to there. And I'm going to put my input from here to ground. And I think I want to put my load resistor here. Let's try it. Is that right? I want to put ground here. No. Well, I'm going to have V1 here, right, and V1 here. Right, this would be I1, and then there's I1 right here. And what I need is, well, this is going to be V1 across here. Well, if you take this V1 and put it down here, you'll see V1 across there, right? You see that? Just brought that down. So I've got V1 across there. And I wonder if I need to bring this guy down to there. And then this will be V1 here. So across the input from here to ground, there's 3 V1. Right? And on the output, I'm not sure I've got it right, and then we're running out of time here. But let's think about this. You can see these V1s coming down, so we got that. That looks right. Got I1 here, and I've got to have this current, well, I've got to have all three currents have got to add to zero, right? So maybe next time we'll look at how we write this, you know, this one, this current here plus that current there plus that current there equals zero, right? That's what you got to have, otherwise it's not, the flux is not zero in the core, right? So we could write that down and then we'll kind of quit here. You got I1, call that I2, oops, 2, and call that I3. You got I1 plus I2 plus I3 equals 0. Or no flux in the core. So maybe from that we can figure out what we need.